is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We have breaking news to start off the program. I'm Scott Seidenberg coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And as we get ready for Sunday Night Baseball, which is set to begin between the Dodgers and the Giants, tonight's starting pitcher for the Giants, Kyle Harrison, will now not make the start for the Giants because Kyle Harrison, as well as Jordan Hicks and others, have been traded from the Giants to the Boston Red Sox for Rafael Devers. That is the breaking news right now across Major League Baseball. First reported by Robert Murray from FanSided and MLB Insider from FanSided and picked up elsewhere. Fox, everybody else tweeting it out. Rafael Devers has been traded to the San Francisco Giants from the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox just swept the New York Yankees in three games in the Bronx. The Yankees were the last team in the American League to be swept this season. Red Sox beat them 2-0. Max Fried got the Paul Skeens treatment, where he was solid for the Yankees, as he has been all season. Max Fried goes 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 9 strikeouts, but picks up the loss because Brian Bello was better for Boston. 7 innings, 3 hits allowed, no runs for Brian Bello. Red Sox sweep the Yankees with a 2-0 shutout win. Rafael Devers did homer in the game. That was the second run for the Red Sox in the 5th inning off of Max Fried. So it was a 1-0 game thanks to a Trevor Story single in the bottom of the 1st inning. And then Rafael Devers homers in the 5th, his only hit of the ball game. And tonight, the breaking news, right as we start the show, Rafael Devers has been traded from the Boston Red Sox to the San Francisco Giants. That means we're going to go over all the ramifications here. We'll look at the updated odds for the Red Sox, for the Giants, everything here. But the situation that we have tonight for this game between the Dodgers and the Giants, Sunday Night Baseball, that is scheduled to start momentarily, is we do not have Kyle Harrison as the starting pitcher. At least that's what I'm seeing online right now. And I'm trying to watch the ESPN broadcast to see if they're talking about it. But this was supposed to be Kyle Harrison for the Giants pitching tonight. Dustin May pitching for the Dodgers. Dodgers a minus 180 favorite. If you did listed pitchers on your bet, if you listed pitchers, your bet will be void if Kyle Harrison does, in fact, not make this start right now. And if you just did action on your bet will go through. And I assume the odds should adjust momentarily. But right now, I'm seeing DraftKings still has minus 179 for the Dodgers over the Giants. I don't know what the pitching situation is going to be right now for the Giants. We are now getting confirmation from other news outlets. Jeff Passan of ESPN tweeting out an out-of-nowhere blockbuster deal. Boston is getting right-handed pitcher Jordan Hicks and more. So I don't know about the Kyle Harrison part as confirmed yet, but what we have confirmed is that Jordan Hicks is a part of this deal. So Red Sox trading away Rafael Devers, who, again, homered today against the Yankees. And in exchange, we'll get Jordan Hicks and more. We'll see how this plays out. Right now, the Boston Red Sox, if we look at the updated odds to World Series, advance, all that fun stuff, let's see if we have a market right now up on DraftKings, which is definitely going to be moving. Dodgers has just moved, by the way, to minus 185 favorites for this game. In the futures, it's not up yet. We'll get I'll get you the updated markets here. Let's see. FanDuel usually posts them, so we'll see. Everyone's scrambling right now to adjust these odds. I can tell you right now, prior to the season, I was on the Boston Red Sox to make the playoffs. I have a ticket on them. one of my futures bets in baseball this year, is the Boston Red Sox to make the playoffs. I was very high on them. They acquired Alex Bregman. They bolstered up their bullpen with Aroldis Chapman in the back end. Their pitching is solid. We know how good Garrett Crochet is. They accumulated other pitchers as well, Giolito and whatnot. And I felt this Boston lineup was going to be potent all season. In spring training, with the whole Alex Bregman, Rafael Devers, third base, second base situation, whole lot of confusion, right? Devers doesn't want to move to first base. He then becomes a designated hitter. Red Sox lose their first baseman in Tristan Casas due to an injury. Devers still doesn't want to move, doesn't want to learn the other position, right? He's a third baseman. There was so much back and forth between the Red Sox and Alex Cora and Rafael Devers and whether or not he was in fact going to learn first base or if he was going to be the designated hitter. And then when Alex Bregman goes out, well, naturally you would think, well, this means that Devers then goes back and plays third base. But no, they don't want to mess him up because you don't know how long Bregman's going to be out for. They keep him as a designated hitter, and this is the situation. All the while, I felt that there was going to be a move to be made. Now, I don't know how many of you would recall this, but prior to the season beginning, when this story first broke in spring training about the whole Rafael Devers doesn't want to move and still thinks he's the third baseman and doesn't want to be the DH, all that stuff, I threw out a trade offer. And I said, who says no to this? At that time, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was trying to get a contract from Toronto, and the Blue Jays were unwilling to give him a long-term deal. And so I floated the idea out there, trade Devers to Toronto for Vladdy. And everybody's happy. Red Sox get a first baseman or a DH. Blue Jays get a player, young player, talented as Devers, under control for 10 years plus. And then the Red Sox can use their money and sign Vladdy to a contract. Well, that trade didn't go down, obviously, and the Blue Jays wound up paying Vladdy. But now, out of nowhere, this trade comes down with the Red Sox trading Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants. Again, the breaking news, if you're just tuning in, is that we have a new starting pitcher for tonight for the San Francisco Giants. Kyle Harrison will no longer make the start because Kyle Harrison has been included in the trade along with relief pitcher Jordan Hicks from the Giants to the Red Sox in exchange for slugger Rafael Devers. And now we look to see how the futures market is going to play out. Here's what the standings look like right now. In the American League East, thanks to the Red Sox sweeping the New York Yankees, Red Sox 6.5 games back of New York in the division. 6.5 games back. In the wild card standings in the American League, the Red Sox only a half game out of the wild card. Just a half game back. So, and plus with the new wild card situations, no one's ever out of it in Major League Baseball. And that's why, you know, the trade market during the summer is not as busy as it used to be because so many more teams think that they're in it because of the extra wild cards. It used to be where you get to the July and the trade deadline's coming up and teams are evaluating their chances of making the postseason thinking, well, we're not going to make the postseason. We're going to sell off some assets here and we'll take a look at next year and beyond. And other teams would go out there and look for rentals. Who could we sign? Who can we trade for and get to help us make a postseason run? But now with more teams thinking that they're in it, there's less activity. Well, here we have a blockbuster, and this is certainly going to shake up the market here in the American League and the National League for sure. Taking a look at the National League West odds right now, we know that the Dodgers are massive favorites. The Giants are 10-1 to win the NL West. And right now, in the National League West standings, with the Dodgers and Giants about to play here on Sunday Night Baseball, Giants are just one game back. The Giants win this game tonight, they're even in the standings. Even if they lose this game tonight, they're still in contention. Now, we know these teams are certainly not, I mean, I can't even say that. Some people would believe these teams are far apart in talent. Like, we know the Dodgers have all this money and they have one of the deepest, most incredible rosters we've ever seen put together. But with all the injuries, we haven't seen a Dodgers pitching rotation be at full strength yet. When it is, yes, it's the best rotation in baseball, but we haven't seen it. And so with the Giants now at 41-30 on the year with a plus 46 run differential, now acquiring Rafael Devers to bolster that lineup, that is a huge add for this Giants team. This is a much better lineup with Rafael Devers now. I mean, you know, they get rid of Lamont Wade. He had his issues. But Yastrzemski, Jung-Hoo Lee, Willy Adames, who's having an incredible year, to go along with, Eliot Ramos, and now Rafael Devers. This is a deep lineup. Giants might have something going on here. I'm not saying 10-1 to win the division, maybe not, but other markets here to win the National League, Giants are 14-1 to win the National League. I mean, you could even do some bets like on FanDuel where you can pick the finalists. So they don't even have to win the National League. You can just get odds on. If you think it's going to be Dodgers-Giants in the NL Championship Series, you got a great payout for that. We'll tell you about that market coming up next. Plus, what to expect here in this game that is about to begin between the Dodgers and the Giants now that Kyle Harrison is not pitching for the Giants. We love breaking news. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we reacted to the breaking news that came down just prior to the start of this Sunday night baseball game between the Dodgers and the Giants, where tonight's starting pitcher scheduled for the San Francisco Giants, Kyle Harrison, was scratched because prior to the game, he was traded to the Boston Red Sox, along with Jordan Hicks and prospects for slugger Rafael Devers in a blockbuster move that is certainly going to shake up the market here in both the National League and the American League. And all I can say is that this has to be a precursor to another move for the Boston Red Sox. We know the Red Sox are aggressive. We know that they think they're in contention, and I think they are as well because of their sweep against the Yankees. They know what they're capable of. I just don't believe that you trade away Rafael Devers to acquire these two arms in Jordan Hicks and in Kyle Harrison. And yes, the prospects might be some big-name prospects, but the Red Sox don't need prospects. They have some of the best in Major League Baseball. The number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball is Roman Anthony. They just called up a week ago. Marcelo Mayer, another top prospect they called up earlier this season. Not to mention Christian Campbell, who was one of the guys that was in contention for the Rookie of the Year in the American League, and others. Like, the Red Sox have an incredible farm system. This has to be a precursor to another move, and I don't know what that move is. I don't. But, man, what a blockbuster. I love this move for the Giants, and I teased out last segment that FanDuel and other sportsbooks have this market where you can bet the finalists in Major League Baseball. Now, this you can do this for the World Series, but you can also do this for each individual league, the American League and National League. And so, think about this. Dodgers, Giants, National League Championship Series, 27-1 odds. With the Giants now acquiring Rafael Devers, they can make a run. This could be a very good San Francisco Giants team in the second half of the season. Speaking of the Giants and the Dodgers, they are going to the bottom of the first inning there. at Chavez Ravine. The Dodgers are a minus 237 favorite on the live line, and it will not be Kyle Harrison, as we know, pitching for the Giants in this one. It's going to be Sean Hegel. I don't even know how to pronounce that, but Sean Hegel is pitching for the Giants tonight, and I think this is a great fade spot right now. I understand the price is hefty, also because we just got out of the top of the first inning. Dustin May was clean in the top of the first, so the Dodgers are minus 237. I'd bet the Dodgers on the run line right now at minus 113. Because of the Giants having this shakeup that clearly the players were not expecting. Because Kyle Harrison was warming up earlier, getting ready to pitch this game. Now, all of a sudden, you have to throw in a bullpen guy who was not prepared to start, did not think he was going to start, and other bullpen arms that maybe didn't think that they were going to pitch today all of a sudden have to be thrust into action. We know Major League Baseball players, and especially pitchers, are creatures of habit. When these pitchers start a game, there's an entire process that they go through to get ready for a start, whether it's the time that they come to the ballpark, the scheduled timing of the meals that they have that day, their hydration, how they prepare, stretching, getting warmed up. There's a lot that these pitchers go through on a start day. And then there's also a lot they go through just on days where, you know, they know it's a side day, it's a throwing session day, so they're not going to pitch in the game, but they're going to get some work in on the side. Or they know, hey, I'm going to be used for 2 to 3 innings today. I got to stretch out, you know, from a relief pitcher's perspective. Now, all of a sudden, you're throwing everybody off their rhythm because 20 minutes before the game, you're changing your pitching plan. Now, the manager's all messed up. Now you have the players are all messed up. And Sean Gelly in the game pitching for the Giants. Yeah, give me Dodgers on the run line right now, minus a run and a half. I have concerns. I have major concerns. I'm Scott Sadenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Not the only baseball game in progress right now. This is Live Bet Sunday, so we're going to be looking at live betting opportunities. So we're monitoring the action at Dodger Stadium between the Dodgers and the Giants. We are on first live bet of the show, Dodgers minus 1.5. We're going to take advantage of this pitching change, but also in progress right now, College World Series. We have an elimination game between Coastal Carolina Coastal Carolina against Oregon State. And you guys know, if you've been watching VSiN or listening all across the past week or so, VSiN broadcasting live from the College World Series, the Jello Shot Challenge at Rocco's. We had Follow the Money. We had Money Moves all there at Omaha, and the crew at Circa as well. At Omaha, just a great experience there during the College World Series. And right now, in the games getting underway here, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, Coastal Carolina against Oregon State. They're in the first inning. Both these teams came off wins, I believe, in their first games. Let's see what happened. This is the double elimination round, this might be their first games for each of these teams. Yeah, the action started on Friday. Yeah, Coastal beat Arizona. Oregon State beat Louisville. So this is the second game for both of these teams. Speaking of Arizona, they were eliminated by Louisville earlier today. So there was an elimination game earlier today. Louisville gets the win, 8-3 over Arizona, eliminates Arizona. Louisville stays alive. Coastal against Oregon State right now in the top of the first inning. Coming up tomorrow, we have an elimination game between Arkansas and Murray State. Arkansas, one of the best teams in the country, the favorites to win the College World Series prior to the tournament beginning. Or I should say, you know, the tournament in Omaha beginning. So after the Super Regionals and once the College World Series was set, Arkansas was your betting favorite. LSU was the second favorite. And those two teams had to play each other in the first game. So one of them was going to drop down to the loser's bracket. And I said this before the game yesterday, and I'll say it again. I was saying I want to bet the loser of that game yesterday in their next game. Because I know, first off, they're playing against Murray State, who is great Cinderella story, but the weakest team in the field right now. And Murray State loses their first game to UCLA, which was also yesterday. They lose, 6-4, but they scored a couple of runs late. It was like 6-0 game. Murray State's a great storyline. LSU and Arkansas were on a different level. So LSU gets the 4-1 win yesterday. Arkansas now drops down into the loser's bracket, where Arkansas will face off against Murray State tomorrow. Arkansas is a minus 500 favorite for the game. I would look to attack it on the run line. -3.5 runs for Arkansas is minus 135. I would get creative and find other ways to play this as well. You can go with like maybe a Murray State team total to go under, or play a live run line. There's lots of ways to get at this from an Arkansas perspective. Meanwhile, in progress right now, Coastal Carolina has scored the first run of the game. It is 1-0 Coastal over our Oregon State in the top of the first inning. I believe they have the bases loaded and two outs here in the top of the first innings. Yep, so runner safe on an error to start the inning here. Then a balk, which put the runner at second base. Then we have, a strikeout, another walk, a hit by pitch, then another strikeout, and then we have, so where did the run score? Oh, that must have been updated. Anyway, I'm seeing a live line right now. Ooh, 3-0 Coastal over Oregon State. All right, so the sports book is updated before the game cast is updating. But right now, Coastal, these live odds, minus 166. That's what the Coastal closed at. They were like minus 150 favorites or higher. And right now on the live line, I'm seeing it's off the board. It's frozen because it's a 3-0 right now. So we'll wait to see the adjustment there on the live line. But also coming up tomorrow, as we get you a live line on Coastal once that comes back up with a 3-0 lead for Coastal here in the first inning. UCLA and LSU will play in their second games, both of them coming off of wins yesterday. And LSU a minus 280 favorite over UCLA, that game coming up tomorrow night. I want to tell you guys about Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, and no minimums. You can earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with the promo code LIVE. Deposit $25. Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. The Dodgers are on the board first, as we expected to happen because of the pitching change there for the San Francisco Giants. Dodgers lead 1-0, now minus 316 on the money line. Minus 1.5 is minus 133. I'd still get on it. We'll talk more, get into the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final as well coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Sunday Night Baseball, the Dodgers with an early 1-0 lead over the Giants, minus 269 on the live line right now. I'd still take a flyer on the Giants, -1.5 though, minus 123. If you're just tuning in, there was a pitching change for the Giants tonight. No Kyle Harrison pitching because traded to the Boston Red Sox, part of a blockbuster deal for Rafael Devers. So Sean Gelly getting the start here for the San Francisco Giants on short notice. College baseball in progress right now. We have Coastal Carolina with an early 3-0 first inning lead over Oregon State on the live line right now. Coastal minus 520. My goodness, they closed at north of minus 150 to minus 160 favorites. NBA Finals will resume coming up tomorrow. And joining us now to talk more about it is Kate Constable from BetMGM. Kate, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate the time. And let's get into this. After we saw the Oklahoma City Thunder kind of pulling Indiana Pacers in the last game, right? Like, they came from behind. They had the fourth quarter run. Does your opinion on this series change now that we sit even two games apiece and the Thunder regain home court advantage?
Well, Scott, first of all, good to be on with you. My opinion on this series changed after game three. I mean, I had been going into the series like, this is OKC's title. They basically already won it. I think a lot of people thought that. I mean, how many people have you talked to that bet OKC in five, OKC to sweep, things like that?
Yeah, me,
right? And the Pacers just hang around. Like, they don't go away. And to your point of OKC kind of pulling a Pacers-esque type game in game four, I think this series goes deep. I mean, OKC... sure, at home, they've been phenomenal all year, but the Pacers have been great. I don't think they're going to be intimidated by going back to OKC for this game. They already took one of them in OKC. So I think this is a series that's going to continue to go back and forth. These games are going to be extremely close. 9.5 points is a lot of points to be laying for OKC. So I'm going to take the points with the Pacers in game five. I think they're able to keep it close, if not maybe even pull out a crazy upset similar to game one.
How do you, which part of the game do you think has the better angle for the Pacers? We know that in game number four was the first time that they actually had a good first quarter, because the Thunder have been dominating the first quarters in the first three games of the series. Indy has a much better first quarter, much better first half. And it was kind of, I mentioned the Thunder pulled a Pacers, because that game was kind of the opposite of what we've seen in this series. We've seen the Pacers struggle early and have big second halves. It was reversed in game number four. How do you think the Pacers come out here in game number five after the loss? I guess the question I'm asking is, do we want to attack the Pacers maybe early in the game, betting a first half line or first quarter line even?
Scott, I don't think so. I'm going to stay off the Pacers early in that game, because to your point, like, they have not been great early on in games, and more so the Thunder have just been so dominant early on. I mean, the Thunder, to cover the first half, they've been great at that first quarter, and they're back on their home floor. They're going to be in front of their home fans, and they're going to be all juiced up, ready to go. So I don't think, or at least I am going to stay off any first quarter, first half bets, and just play the full game, knowing that things can change on a dime in the second half, late in the fourth quarter. So this is one where I wouldn't blame anyone. I couldn't talk anyone necessarily off of playing like an Oklahoma first half. But the Pacers first half, not something that I want to get involved in, just because they haven't consistently proved that they're able to come out and establish their type of play in the first half. So that one I'm off completely.
Kate Constable from BetMGM's BetMGM Network, Odyssey Sports, joining me, Scott Seidenberg, on the Progressive Guest Line. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN as we take a look at game number five of the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow. From a prop perspective, which players are you going to target here in game number five?
Yeah, two players for OKC. The first, Alex Caruso. He's been phenomenal outside of game three, kind of struggled a little bit there, but bounced back huge in game four, 20 points. I don't think he's going to score 20 points again, but he's going to continue to play heavy minutes. Had 30 minutes in that game four, five steals. Like, just his defensive prowess is what keeps him on the floor. And he's a good enough player that if you leave him open, he's going to knock down a couple shots. He's going to get to the free throw line. Outside of Jay Will and SGA, Alex Caruso got to the free throw line more than any other player on the Thunder team in game four. So going over 10.5 points, he's gone over this in every game except game one. It feels like Caruso has just gotten better as the series has gone on. So I'm going to continue to play on him. Plus a veteran, he's been in these big moments before. And then Lu Dort, I'm going to take over 1.5 made threes for him. His volume has gone down as the series has gone on, but he's shooting 61% from deep. And I know the Thunder as a team shot awful from three in game four, but now they're back on their home floor. I know Dort isn't a role player. He's a starter, but he's not like one of their main scorers. So in that sense, oftentimes the saying goes, role players play better at home. I think Lu Dort has a great game back in OKC. So I'll take over 1.5 made threes for him.
Yeah, you know, a huge game number one. Was 5 of 9 from three in game number one, and then 4 of 5 in game number three. He's kind of gone back and forth here. Maybe this is the time where he picks it up. And you mentioned a great point, Kate, that I think we have to just, you know, reiterate for the audience that when you're looking at these prop bets from some of these players, the role players do tend to step up at home. We always say, like, you know, the star players on the road, the role players at home. And so you can look to attack, like, I don't want to bet TJ McConnell props on the road.
No.
I want to do it at home when the crowd's cheering for him every time he comes into the game. But for OKC, I might be looking at some of these ancillary pieces. I like your angle on Alex Caruso. He had a big time performance in game number four. I expect him to have another big contribution here in game number five. As for the star players, though, Tyrese Haliburton went under his prop point because it got jacked up to 18.5. So we love that. He scored 18, though, so it was a little bit of a sweat. What do we expect from Haliburton here on the road in I don't want to call these must-win games when it's not an elimination game, but let's be honest. For all intents and purposes, they got to win this game. Yeah. I don't think they win this series if they lose this game. So what do we expect from Tyrese Haliburton in a very important game five?
Must win, can't lose games, whatever the term is, Scott. I mean, you're right. This is a must win game for the Pacers. But for Haliburton, I would look to play his under 18.5. I think he stays under that. He's not someone who's going to consistently be putting up 20, 25 plus points. That's SGA. Whereas Haliburton is someone where you might get around 16, 17 points, but you're also going to get a ton of rebounds and a ton of assists. So if you want to attack Haliburton in any way, if you're someone who wants to bet overs, I would say take his points, rebounds, and assists. But I think this number for his points prop is priced pretty sharp, that he's got probably going to end around 16, 17 points. I would take the under here, especially, again, being on the road, away from home. Haliburton, as good as he has been, like, he's great in clutch moments down the stretch, but he's not going to give you a massive number night in and night out. So I would look at the under here.
Yeah, I've been playing the unders, so I like to continue to ride that. He's one of those players, man, whether it's the ugly shot or whatever it is, and it goes in, it just frustrates you. When you know, some players you're okay losing a prop bet on. It's like, I'm not okay when I lose a Tyrese Haliburton prop. It makes me angry. Maybe I'm still bitter over that Knicks series. Final thing, if the Pacers are able to win this game, they pull off an upset, they win 9.5-point dogs, will you be on them or against them in game number 6?
I will probably be against them. I think this series is going to go 7 games. We've seen it. I mean, it has been literally back and forth, alternating wins throughout the entire series. And these two teams, they just match up really well together. They play a similar pace or similar style of play, and that makes it difficult for one to necessarily attack the other or take them out of their rhythm, their game. And so I think this is a series that's going to go the distance, go 7 games. If it does go 7 games, the Pacers have been great in the clutch throughout this playoffs, and significantly better than OKC. So even though the Pacers would have to win a game 7 on the road, and we all know that that's extremely difficult, I feel like they are a little bit better suited for those big moments just because they have a little bit more veteran players. So you can get the Pacers in 7 games at 7-1. That's a long shot. Put a quarter of a unit or something on it if you like that. But I think if the Pacers win tomorrow night, OKC wins in Indy, and then we go back to OKC, and I would look to take the Pacers there.
What if it happens the opposite way? And then the Thunder coming off a win, up 3-2. They're laying, let's say, 5.5 in Indy in game number 6.
I would take Indy on the money line. I think whoever wins, you just go back and forth. Especially Indy, like, playing at home. Like, they have been phenomenal at home all season. And they're just such a scrappy team. You never really know what you're going to get from them, but at least we've seen that they're not going to get fully blown out by the Thunder. They're not going to pull a Minnesota Timberwolves in, what was that, game 3, where they just got, well, Wolves destroyed the Thunder in game 3. Game 4, game 5 got blown out, so I don't think we're going to see that in this series.
Okay, great stuff as always. Appreciate the time. Good luck with your bets. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, Scott.
There she is, Kate Constable. Check her out, host of a couple shows there on BetMGM Network, on Odyssey, The Better Angle, on the weekends there, game day as well. So she does a great job there for Odyssey and BetMGM Network. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We'll get more into the NBA Finals as we take a look at tomorrow's game number 5. We'll also recap what we saw last night in the Stanley Cup Final and prepare you for that series when that series resumes. And will Edmonton bounce back like they have done so many times here in this postseason and in this series? But coming up next, the U.S. Open. We have to talk about some of the most ridiculous golf that we've ever seen. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Madness at Oakmont. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As the U.S. Open concludes final round, which was delayed a little bit because of weather, and they're trying to get the last bit of golf in while there is still some daylight left, and for the course and for the U.S. Open and for the fans that are hoping for a resolution today. Hopefully there's no playoff, because if we do have a playoff, we might not be able to get it in, as they probably could, but sunset is fast approaching, about an hour or so away from now from the sun setting there at the U.S. Open. But here's the situation. J.J. Spaun, who was your round one leader at the U.S. Open after shooting a 4-under opening round. J.J. Spaun started the day today for his fourth round, bogeying 5 of his first 6 holes. He put up a 40 on his scorecard in the front 9. He then goes par, birdie, bogey, par. With 2 holes remaining, J.J. Spaun at 1 over is your co-leader with Robert McIntyre right now. And J.J. Spaun is overwhelmingly the favorite right now to win the U.S. Open. Minus 400 on your live betting odds for J.J. Spaun to win the U.S. Open. He's got 2 holes remaining. He's on 17 right now. He needs 1 birdie to beat Robert McIntyre, who is in the clubhouse at 1 over. Tyrell Hatton, he is at 2 over, but he is on the 18th right now after bogeying the 17th. Tyrell Hatton is 1 stroke back. He is now way off the odds to win. Still on the course, Victor Hovland, who is through 16, he is at 3 over. So if he birdies 17 and 18, he finds himself at 1 over, could be in contention here for a playoff. Same thing with Adam Scott, who is also, Adam Scott is through 15, but Adam Scott is really falling off. I mean, Adam Scott bogeyed the 11th, the 14th, and the 15th, and is on the 16th right now. Sam Burns, who had himself an opportunity earlier, double bogey on the 11th, a bogey on 12, a double bogey on 15, and now Burns is 3 over, and he is on the 16th hole right now. So again, your live odds: J.J. Spaun, who was minus 400, now minus 350, Robert McIntyre plus 280, Victor Hovland now 70-1, Adam Scott, Tyrell Hatton, and Sam Burns are all 500-1. No, 5,000-1. I'm sorry. Yeah, 5,000-1. That's crazy. But a lot has to happen for them to be in contention. Like, they're going to have to go birdie and hope that nobody does anything in their remaining holes. But your top three, I guess, with chances: J.J. Spaun minus 350, Robert McIntyre plus 280, and Victor Hovland 70-1. For Hovland, as I mentioned, he is 3 over, but he still has 17 and 18 left, which is crazy that he's even getting shorter. Must mean that the sportsbook is updating it. He must have a birdie putt coming on 17 to move to possibly 2 over. But Robert McIntyre and J.J. Spaun are tied atop the leaderboard at 1 over par, and J.J. Spaun has 17 and 18 left to play. He is your favorite right now to win the U.S. Open. And this has been a fascinating golf tournament to watch, because the course has been challenging, and also weather has played a factor to the point where you've almost had multiple variations of golf being played over the course of these 4 days. You had hot and dry conditions. You had hot and wet conditions. You had cold and wet conditions. You had cold and dry conditions. Like, this has been a really challenging event for these golfers, which is why you see some of the best golfers in the world, some of the biggest names, are not atop the leaderboard. Scottie Scheffler, who is the best golfer in the world right now, who's winning left and right, who was as short as a plus 260 favorite to win the U.S. Open, which was absolutely absurd. Scottie Scheffler might actually finish top 10. He's T9 right now, and he's finished at 4 over for the tournament after an even round. here on Sunday. So Scheffler, if you bet him in the top 10, which was the shortest odds, well, you might have a chance here, but you're certainly sweating because, you know, actually everyone else behind him is done. So, yeah, looks like you're going to get your T9 here for Scheffler. But, man, this whole event, crazy. I mean, some of the Bryson DeChambeau was my pick to win the thing. Didn't even make the cut. And the cut was at +7 this weekend. But this is going to be one of those U.S. Opens where it is going to be an above-par score, likely, that wins this tournament. Unless Spawn can birdie the final two holes or one of the final two holes and finish at even par. Again, looking at the live board right now. Ooh. All right, we did have some change. It's flashing, like, right in front of my eyes. Spawn was -250. Now Spawn is -300. McIntyre +240. Hovland is now 60-1. So those are your three golfers that have live odds on them right now at the U.S. Open, as J.J. Spawn does birdie the 17th. So he is now even par as your sole leader at the U.S. Open. J.J. Spawn -300 on the live odds right now. Going into the 18th hole is your sole leader at the U.S. Open. So, listen, I got to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm constantly recommending -300 bets here. But -300 and all he just has to shoot par? Like, what are the odds that he pars the 18th hole? He bogeyed it yesterday. He bogeyed it on Friday. And he parred it on Thursday. So par, bogey, bogey on the 18th hole in the first three rounds for J.J. Spawn. He just needs to par this, and he will win the U.S. Open. If he bogeys it, he's still alive to win the U.S. Open because he'll fall into a playoff here with Robert McIntyre, both at +1. If he double bogeys, that's how you lose this bet. -300, listen, pressure, it's golf, anything can happen. We know the course is wet. We know we saw Sam Burns have to hit it off a very wet, sloppy area in the fairway that arguably changed the course of his ball, forcing him to double bogey. So maybe not taking a shot on it, but he is in a great spot right now, J.J. Spawn, just needing to par the 18th hole, and he will be your U.S. Open champion. And if he bogeys it, he'll still be alive because he'll be in a playoff then with Robert McIntyre, who is sitting in the clubhouse right now at +1. Tyrell Hatton and Victor Hovland are both on 18 right now, both at 2 over. So with a birdie on 18 for either golfer, they will put themselves into contention for possibly being in the mix as far as like a 3 or 4 way tie in case Spawn bogeys the 18th hole. But we'll wait to see how those guys finish up and take a look at the live markets, as Spawn has now jumped to a -450 favorite, which just tells me that he probably put this tee shot in the fairway. Hey, if you want to know where the real money is going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving the insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings providing a broader market perspective, so that means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Dodgers with a 2-0 lead over the Giants as they are in the third inning now in L.A. And the Dodgers on the live line, -730. But on the run line, it's now -2.5 at -145. And again, the big news prior to this game was that there was a pitching change for the Giants because Kyle Harrison was warming up and then gets told, hey, you've been traded. Rafael Devers, the blockbuster deal on his way to the San Francisco Giants in exchange for Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, and a couple of prospects from San Francisco. Our very own Greg Peterson joins me next to talk more Major League Baseball right here with me, Scott Seidenberg, on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.